Pick Six Podcast, first Monday without football. It's a depressing time to be a football fan unless you love the glitter and the glisten and the gloss and the floss of Randy Moss. It's his 35th birthday on Monday. Hey, I can quote rap lyrics. It's his Randy Moss' 35th birthday, and he announced that he's coming back to football. Excitement abounds. We'll talk about that. We will talk about the possibility of DeSean Jackson being franchised. We will talk about Reggie Wayne to the Patriots. We'll mention Calvin Johnson and his contract talks. So we'll have basically a wide receiver day. Then we'll hit up Brandon Jacobs versus Jason Pierre-Paul. Who would you rather have in the steel cage deathmatch ring? And we'll talk about Roger Goodell making $20 million a year. Ryan Wilson, would you rather have Randy Moss or Terrell Owens right now?
Oh, Jesus. It's not even close. Randy Moss. By the way, you said this is the first Monday without football. You said that last Monday on our podcast. So which is it?
This is the first Monday without football on Sunday.
Sunday?
Is what I mean. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a weird feeling being up at like a normal hour on a Monday, and there wasn't, you know, this reaction to football from the weekend before. It's very eerie silence. My wife loved this weekend. It was probably her favorite weekend of all time. We just sat around and watched Harrison Ford movies.
You almost said my woman.
No, I didn't. I said my wife.
Almost slipped in there.
My woman liked watching Clear and Present Danger.
Jesus, what were you watching? AMC?
No, we were renting them. They're like $2 a pop on Time Warner. Anyway, enough about that. So yeah, I agree. Randy Moss by far and away. I think T.O.'s in the IFL or the AFL or whatever the hell it is.
IFL, the Allen Wranglers. Know it.
That's right.
And sounds co-owner.
Along with Brett Favre. So Randy Moss, there's a report from Jason Cole of Yahoo that the Eagles and Jets are quote unquote curious for Moss.
Right. That sounds like a Craigslist ass, by the way.
Single chubby white male seeking tall streaking wide receiver.
Formerly of an afro, that's right. Yeah. So it smells like sauerkraut.
Yeah, it was really weird. And I thought, all right, well, first of all, we can talk about the U. Let's talk about the U stream first of all, and then talk about the teams that are interested in him. I thought that Randy Moss's U stream was absolutely outstanding. This was
Monday morning. It was his birthday, and he went on. I don't know who.
First thing Monday morning.
I don't know who he notified initially, but he said several times throughout the hour-long Ustream cast that he was doing this solely for his fans. And then as the numbers climbed, when I got on, there were about 85 people viewing. By the time he ended it, there were more than 400. And he kept saying, these are from our fans, not for the fakers, not for the haters or whatever. And he said, I'm not trying to be an a-hole, but this is just for the Randy Moss fans. And he was genuine, and he was pretty awesome. He was as talkative as he's probably been during his decade-long career in the NFL. And he talked about coming back. He was kind of vague about it. I don't know if he was serious or not, but the media, of course, with nothing else to do, certainly ran with it.
Right. And I mean, look, I did too. I mean, right, obviously. But I mean, it was. He was just kind of like, I'm coming back to football. He didn't say, like, I'm coming back with a vengeance to, you know, catch. He just said, I'm coming back. And he said,
maybe
he's going to
be a GM somewhere.
Hey, it could be a coach. I thought it was awesome. He talked about he pulled out his bag of hair, his recently shorn head. He said he's not growing out his afro again. He's going with the short hair. He pulled out his shorn afro and said that it smells like sauerkraut.
Out of a brown paper bag.
It was amazing. Somebody asked him about Myra Kraft and what she meant to him and to Patriots players. And he's like, all right, I'm going to get serious with y'all. And he leans up and he cuts off. He's like, sorry, Jeezy, you got to do this. And cuts off Lil Wayne, which is playing on his stereo. And then proceeds to go into this very emotional and serious, like, talk about Myra Kraft. I mean, he was joking around. He was getting mad at some commenters. Like, some were asking him if he'd smoke a bowl on Ustream. And he got mad at him. It was the internet in all its glory, really.
Right. And Al Gore should pat himself on the back today.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it was very good, and of course, now the conversation will be. I think Randy Moss, if he had done that maybe once a year during his NFL career, he would never have any detractors because it was pretty awesome. I mean, Chad Ochocinco used to do Ustream back when he was with the Bengals, and no one cared what he did with himself, and it was never approached being as good as Randy Moss was today.
Like you said, he's so genuine. I mean, he just came across as a guy just chat. I think he should do that once a week.
Well, no, I think this is perfect. In fact, it was. Whether it was a PR stunt or not, I don't think it was. It might be a great vehicle to get him back into the NFL because it shows a different side of him, quote-unquote, if any other, you know, personnel guys had any questions about who he is as a person. maybe this sort of alleviates that, and you know, that leads to where he might possibly end up.
Okay.
And what did Cole say?
Well, Cole said that the, as I mentioned, the Jets and Eagles are curious.
Jets are.
Yeah. Well, here, let me. I'm gonna list my top five possible destinations for Randy Moss.
Yours or Cole's?
Mine.
Okay.
Patriots, mm-hmm. Ravens, Eagles, 49ers, Jets. Now, four of those are were on Cole's list, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that the Patriots, Jets, and Eagles were on everybody's list.
Patriots, Jets, Eagles, probably 49ers too.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to lose. They're probably going to lose Josh Morgan in free agency. They have Vernon Davis, and Michael Crabtree stinks.
I'm not sure if the Ravens need him. They have Torrey Smith. I don't know if he and Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin.
Torrey Smith would be better in the slot.
Why? He's a deep threat. Why does he need to be in the slot?
I mean, he would just be better. He's young. He's still, you know, developing his route running, his mechanics, his catching.
Are you just making this up, or do you have some basis for which?
No, he just dropped a ton of balls last year.
Yeah, but here's another thing.
They wanted him to be in the slot. I mean, that's why they traded for Lee Evans. They were like,
Oh, they have Lee Evans too, which I think
Lee Evans is probably getting cut though.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, he's going to get a lot. I think he's due $5 million, north of $5 million, maybe. But well, this is another problem. Cam Cameron only likes going with two wide receiver sets. So where do you put Randy Moss?
Yeah, no, I just mean that they could use a guy, a vertical guy like Moss. And I realize Torrey Smith is a vertical guy, but they could use a vertical guy to stretch the field. And
yeah, I put him pretty low, maybe fifth on the top five list. The Jets are probably number one because the Jets are always number one when it comes to big name free agents.
I think the Patriots are at the top.
Well, Peter King said the Patriots weren't interested. I think Peter King said this, or maybe Bedard said this. Bedard said the Patriots aren't interested as of now. I think Florio said that someone said that they are interested. So maybe somewhere between. I don't know. I think that would you rather have Randy Moss or Reggie Wayne if you're the Patriots?
Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, because
it may not be that much cheaper or more expensive. I think
Reggie Wayne would be more expensive.
No, I agree. But I'm saying Randy Moss ain't coming back for league minimum.
No. I have $2 to $3 million. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Reggie Wayne has more of the tank. Randy Moss took a year
off. Half the price of Chad Ochocinco.
Oh, boy.
Just saying. Look, I think either guy would be a good fit. Reggie Wayne is probably going to want one more big contract. You know,
he's 33. Why? What do the Eagles need? Why is everyone saying the Eagles need to be up there?
Well, here's the deal. We talked about this. DeSean Jackson reportedly will get franchised. Somebody who works for the Eagles, I think, said on Twitter, there has not been a decision made, but he could be franchised.
Who said that on the Eagles said that on Twitter?
I think so. Jeff McClain in the Philadelphia Inquirer reported it, and I saw the Inquirer's insider Eagles blog or whatever retweet it, and I couldn't really tell who the guy was. I got the sense that he was maybe a writer for Philadelphia, for theeagles.com or whatever.
Was it a tweeter named Randy Eid?
It could have been. I'm not sure where I saw it.
That's Andy Reid backwards.
I was like, yeah, it totally could be.
Let me ask you this. Talking about DeSean Jackson, and also we talked on the last podcast about Plexico Burress going to the Eagles. That's another move that really doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Should the Eagles franchise DeSean?
I think so. But
well, let me tell you this before you keep going. Let's see. He was drafted in 08 in the second round, and he had a chip on his shoulder because he thought he should have been a first-round pick.
Right.
2010, he had 47 receptions for 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Is that it? I thought he had more than that.
What, 6 touchdowns?
Only 47 receptions in 2010? I guess he did a lot of return game stuff, too.
Yeah. He's the only person in NFL history to make the Pro Bowl in two positions, right?
Yeah, and he got Matt Dodge fired in that final game against the Giants in 2010. Jesus, he had more catches in 2011. That's weird. 58 for 981, and he had 4 touchdowns. Compared to his...
Yeah, but he averaged 22.5 yards of catch.
That's true.
2010. I mean, that's monster.
No, that's true. And he didn't do anything on special teams in 2011. So either way, I don't know what the going rate is. I don't know if you've seen the number for the wide receivers this year for franchise wide receivers, but I can't imagine. You're basically taking a flyer. Well, you hope to re-sign him, I'm assuming, if you franchise him, or trade him, but they don't like you to trade franchise picks. But also, you're taking a flyer that he's going to revert to his 2010 form, both as a receiver and as a returner. Is that worth whatever the going rate is for franchising wide receivers?
Right, it's $9.4 million, which is a lot. It was $11.4 million last year, though. So Deshaun.
So you're saving $2 million.
That's a big difference. That's a big difference.
I know, but he's still, either way, whether you, it's relative.
That's a Randy Moss.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money, but here's the thing. You've had Deshaun Jackson. I think he's made $3 million in his 4 years. I mean, he's been a steal. He will sign that contract, that franchise tag.
Of course he will, but should he be offered
within 30 seconds because he wants to get the guaranteed money. You get him out there and you get him, give him one more shot to play for a monster deal and then let him walk. Get him one more year. And you're all in this year. You can't let your number one playmaker leave. I don't think of the Eagles. I mean, this is a guy, you get him on you get him that guaranteed money. So you get him paid, you make him happy, and you tell him if he blows up next year, you'll give him a deal, and then you don't.
So they have Jeremy Maclin, and they have Jason Avant, who is strictly a number three receiver. Then you have, what's that white guy's name from Florida?
Riley Cooper.
Riley Cooper, who's strictly a four or five.
Yeah.
And so would you rather have... Well, yeah, so it's tight end. I'm just talking about the White House. Okay. So would you rather have Deshaun Jackson, or you can have Randy Moss and Plaxico Burress, two of these, Randy Moss, Plaxico Burress, or Reggie Wayne? Take two of those.
Reggie Wayne.
No, you can take two of those old-timers, or you have Deshaun Jackson. So who would you rather have?
Ooh, good question. I would take two of the old-timers.
Which ones?
I'd probably go Reggie Wayne and Randy Moss.
And you could probably get those guys for $9 million bucks. Right?
I don't think you can get Wayne for $9
million. It's combined, you can't get both those guys?
I guess he probably won't. Yeah, maybe you could. I mean, it's going to be close, but I mean, I would take those guys and add Maclin with them because...
There you go. That's all I'm saying, because I'm not sure. You're saying, well, let's give him one more chance to play for a big deal. Deshaun had his chance in 2011, and he quit.
But with Wayne, well, he got hurt some too. But with Wayne, you're going to have to, and he was trying to play to save his body. With Wayne... And he knew he was going to get franchised, too. With Wayne, you're going to have to sign him to a multiple-year deal. He's not just going to take a one-year deal.
No, I understand that, but you can just do like they always do and just give him a $40 billion contract and only pay him $4 million before you cut him in 2 years.
Yeah. And look, the problem with Deshaun Jackson is that he's not a red zone target. I mean, the dude does nothing.
Well, he used to be, but it started at the 50-yard line. But now, last season, he just really didn't show up. And whatever the reason, I mean, I know Andy Reid said he didn't quit on plays, and that's fine. But the bottom line is his production wasn't there. And that has to be a concern when you're thinking about dropping $9 million on the guy.
No, I think so, too. And that's why, look, if you're the Eagles, but you could franchise him, worst case is you're locked in for $9 million with a guy mm-hmm. who connects as Michael Vick as your playmaker. You run him out there for the full year. Maybe best case is you trade him for a stopgap, or not a stopgap, to plug a hole on defense, like a linebacker or a safety. You trade him for that, and then you go out and sign a free agent wide receiver.
And there are plenty of free agent wide receivers. I was looking at the NFLPA list of wide receivers, and it is long and extensive.
Absolutely stacked.
By the way, going back to the Randy Moss quickly, if he was frustrated, and if he has a history of quitting on offenses that basically suck, what is he going to do with Mark Sanchez short hop pass?
I agree. I think that's why I put the Jets and the 49ers so low. Like, what's going to happen?
I would put the 49ers ahead of
the Jets.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. I mean, the Jets are just in this because they sign every famous veteran. Like, if you're if you're a discarded veteran with a big name, you're going to be mentioned as a possible guy for the Jets.
Except not even Rex Ryan and Mike Tannenbaum are willing to take a gamble on Terrell Owens, it seems.
Yeah, that is odd, isn't it? Maybe he's so disruptive in the locker room.
Which is saying something, because if you look at that locker room the Jets have, they seem to say, welcome people who are dysfunctional in society. We want to see what you can do to the Jets.
That's true. But usually they're like the dysfunctional guys that they've coached before.
Well, yeah, Santonio Holmes and Plex weren't.
Yeah, but I think Rex, I'm telling you, man, Santonio has some blackmail on Rex Ryan.
Well, he's good, or at least he has a history of being good. Plex was good in 07. I don't know what's going on there. It seems like, I just think Terrell Owens is done physically. Blowing out his knee probably didn't help, and I don't know when this IFL season starts, but he just said on the radio last week, on Friday, I believe, that the perception of him as a maniac is completely media driven. He's not disruptive in the locker room. Of course, this is the same guy who accused Jeff Garcia of being gay, and then he spent months.
I mean, he's pissed off every team he's played for.
Right? He even pissed off the Ravens when he didn't want to get traded there, or got signed there, whatever, and then he didn't go. So yeah,
I mean, like the 40, like the 49ers organization hates him. The Cowboys organization hates him. The Eagles organization hates him. The Bengals organization hates him.
The Bills might like him. I don't know. He wasn't there very long.
Yeah, I mean.
But I'm not even sure the Bengals hate him. It's just that they weren't going to bring him back because they said, screw it, we're starting over. And it turned out to be the right deal.
Well, right. I mean, but I mean, yeah, I shouldn't say hate. So I guess what I mean is.
But he has burned some bridges.
Like, literally, 1/6 of the NFL will not sign him because they already have. I mean, that should tell you something. Right?
No, yeah, I agree. And it says a lot that he's not in the same conversation as one we're having about Randy Moss, who did not play last year.
That's right. All right, you are all up on the Reggie Wayne band. I've never seen a guy with an off-season man crush like you have on Reggie Wayne.
I wrote about this in December.
I know.
Mid-season man crush.
Right, mid-season man crush. You've been talking about Reggie Wayne to the Patriots for months. Every time, and look, you have a valid point. Every time somebody's like, ooh, Randy Moss to so-and-so, you're like, how about Reggie Wayne? So Reggie Wayne says, who wouldn't want to play for the Patriots? What percent chances would you give him ending up with Bill Belichick?
I think it's higher than Randy Moss. Because the Patriots, I think Bedard pointed this out, they had a chance to sign Randy Moss during the 2011 season when there were clear needs that they had at deep threat because Chad was not getting it done, and they chose not to. I don't know, maybe Randy wasn't ready to come back or the Patriots decided the timing wasn't right. But if you look at Reggie Wayne's numbers, I don't have them in front of me, but they're pretty impressive given the fact that he had Curtis Painter and Dan Orlovsky throwing him passes. And his numbers compared to Chad Ochocinco's are like Hall of Famers compared to, you know, you trying to play in the NFL. That's how poorly Chad Ochocinco's season went.
Reggie Wayne had 75 catches, 960 yards, and just 4 touchdowns in 2011. Prior to that, he had made the Pro Bowl 5 straight years, had one, quote-unquote, well, his worst season was 82 catches, 1,145 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Prior to that, in the last 5 years. I mean, he's been an Indy 10 years.
If he had that worst season of 82 catches that you mentioned playing for the Patriots this year, they would have won the Super Bowl.
That's correct.
But because, I mean, this is something else that people.
He led. I mean, it's funny, too, because he led the NFL. This is ironic. In 2007, when Randy Moss was breaking records and scoring 23 touchdowns, Reggie Wayne actually led the NFL in receiving yards.
There you go. And my first inclination is to think that wherever Peyton goes, that's where Reggie will go. But who knows what's going to happen with Peyton, assuming he doesn't play. I like Reggie to the Patriots. And people were talking – Cold Hard Football Facts brought this up after the Super Bowl. People talk about Wes Welker as a deep threat. I think they pointed to like 10 passes he's caught.
He's not at all.
For over 20 yards.
Yeah.
So, and you know, they're going back, of course, to the drop and or the misfire by Brady. But whatever. The point is the Patriots need a deep threat. Reggie Wayne isn't going to beat you necessarily in a foot race like Randy Moss used to be able to, but he knows how to get open. And he knows how to run routes precisely.
He's like a really, 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 really rich man's Chad Ochocinco at this point.
Right.
I mean, right? I mean,
and he can catch.
Well, that's what I mean. Is that,
right. He can run, he can catch.
He averaged 60 yards a game last year with Curtis Painter and Dan Orlovsky under center.
No quarterback.
Did Ochocinco get 60 yards last year?
Yeah, he got over 200. In 17 games, he had 16 catches. That includes the playoffs.
And it's worth noting, too, that Reggie Wayne – you know, in these games against, I mean, like, he was getting heavy coverage, and Pierre Garçon was wide open half the time because, you know, these teams were like, whatever, we're going to double team, you know, we're going to put people on Reggie Wayne. Go ahead.
And then there's this. MDS pointed this out, our buddy at Pro Football Talk. In 2009, this is what Bill Belichick said about Reggie Wayne. I can't say enough about Reggie Wayne. The guy is the best receiver we cover every year, and it seems like he just keeps getting better. That was 09 when he was 30, 31. So I can't. He hasn't dropped off that much to where Belichick probably has lost sight of him. So I'm sure he's on the Patriots' radar, given that he's a free agent, and seeing what happens with Manning will probably determine.
No, and here's the other thing, too, is that we talk about Randy Moss, whether he can come back or not. The biggest problem with Randy Moss coming back is that, you know, I think that it's a lot on his motivation, whether he's willing to play and whether he's able to play, because I think physically he's such a freak that he can play. But Randy Moss is only going to be successful if he still has his speed.
And he wants to play. And by that I mean if he's not playing for the Titans, where Kerry Collins is not getting the ball close enough to him.
Right.
But he admitted on Ustream on Monday that, because he was talking about Jerry Rice, he said, Jerry Rice played the middle of the field, I play on the outside, which is another warning that if you want him to go across the middle, that ain't happening.
Right, exactly. So, but like if Randy Moss loses his speed, he's done at the NFL. Reggie Wayne is totally different because Reggie Wayne grew up in the NFL underneath Marvin Harrison, working with Peyton Manning his whole career, learning how to be incredibly precise with his routes and how to get the most out of his body. I mean, like that was the one thing about Marvin that I always thought was amazing. Harrison would catch the ball and he would never get hit because he would always fall down before somebody hit him. It was ingenious. I mean, like people would call it like, you know, weak or wussified or some crap like that. But it's brilliant. You know, I mean, that's how you extend a career and how you stay healthy.
That's the Deion Branch school of catching.
Yeah, well, there you go. He's a rich, really, really, really rich man's Deion Branch.
That's right. What else we got? Any other receivers we wanted to talk about?
We can talk about potential franchise tags, I guess. I mean, other guys that...
Wallace is a potential... His name.
He's an RFA, though.
No, but they're talking... The Steelers are talking about possibly franchising him if they can't work out... They want to work out a long-term deal because I think one of the concerns... Someone said this out loud... in the Steelers organization, but I've heard several
Todd
people.
Todd Haley?
Yeah, right. But there are some concerns that the Patriots have two first-round picks, and they need a deep threat. I mean, clearly, I would think that giving up a first-rounder for Mike Wallace would be well worth the cost for the Patriots to get him, right?
Where is this coming from? Is there talk about this?
These are the things that Steelers fans talk about. If the Steelers signed him to his tender, Mike Wallace, it only costs a first-round pick to get him. And then the Steelers have to match that offer.
I thought you were saying that
there's no trade talk. No.
Yeah, gotcha.
No, but just the restricted free agent, the way it works, that if the Steelers tender him as a first-round pick, the Patriots could say, well, we have two first-round picks. We'll give you one. And then the Steelers have to match that offer, and then it'll be up to them. Instead of any of that taking place in the Patriots, I think that would be a pretty smart move for the Patriots. They've been crappy in terms of drafting people, especially wide receivers recently, and they know what they would get Mike Wallace. But the Steelers are like, well, I think the Steelers, the conversation they're having is that they want to work out a long-term deal. They have cap issues, so in the interim, they might just franchise them. And I think that certainly makes a lot more sense than the Eagles franchising Deshaun.
Yeah, that's true. There's an interesting situation going down in New Orleans because they have Carl Nix, Marquise Colston, and Drew Brees who are going to be unrestricted free agents at the end of this year. Now, Drew Brees is clearly not going anywhere. There's a 0% chance that the Saints let Drew Brees leave. But the problem is, if they don't have a deal with Drew Brees in place by March 5th at 4 p.m. Eastern time, they're going to have to use a franchise tag on Brees.
That's a lot of money.
Well, no, it's actually down. It's, I believe, I've actually got this up, I think it's only like 11 point...
What? That's $2 million more than...
14.4 million this year. It's down from 16.1 last year.
He's worth $14 million, though.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem, Brees ain't going to play under a one-year franchise tag. He's like the...
Do we know that? Has he...
He has intimated strongly that he will not be, or people have heard that he will not be. I mean,
holdup? Resign him.
Well, they're working on it. I mean, they're working on it. They've been working on it for a year.
These things take time.
Well, I mean, it should have been easy. You know, you can slot him right below Brady and that's what's
below. So why?
Well, I mean, that was at the beginning of last year. I wrote that it was easy to figure out what Brees would make because you slot him right below Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Obviously, it was before Peyton Manning was hurt, before Drew Brees broke the record, and above Michael Vick. He fit nicely in that little section at about, I think it's like $15 million a year.
But what about now?
Now, that's the problem. I'm assuming that Brees and Tom Condon, who's also Peyton Manning's agent, would like more money. And I'm assuming that the Saints are not thrilled about the prospect of paying him more money than that, and that's where the hang-up is.
Well, the lesson is to quit wasting time and get a deal done.
Well, yes, but here's the other problem is that let's say that Brees, they can't get a deal done by March 5th or, you know, 4 p.m. They have to use a franchise tag on Brees. That means that Marquise Colston and Carl Nix are both going to walk, and that means that Brees loses his number one wide receiving target. Jimmy Graham's probably still his best target. And he also loses a two-time All-Pro interior offensive lineman. I mean, that's only going to piss him off more when it comes to contract negotiations.
Well, another problem is that he'll be fine because he ain't going to play as a franchise tag. But the problem for the Saints is that they lose three players because even though they franchise Brees, he won't take the field.
Right.
So let's assume that they somehow work out a deal with Brees. Who do you franchise between Nix and Colston?
That's the debate I was having earlier, and I think it's Nix because
I totally agree. You let Colston walk.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, Colston's a premier wide receiver. He will get you. Well, he is.
What does that mean? Top 15?
Yeah, top 15. Top 10. I'd say top 10. Maybe top 10?
No, definitely. I wouldn't. You know, he's not top 10.
You don't think so? Would you rather have Deshaun Jackson or Marquise Colston?
Deshaun.
Deshaun?
He's more explosive. More erratic, but more explosive.
Yeah,
That's true. I think Marquise is top 20, and I put him like between 15 and 20. I'm just off the top of my head. I actually would like to make a list of that. I'm not sure he's definitely – is he top 30? I mean, he has to be top 30. He's one of the – he's a starter.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd be fine letting him walk. He came in as a tight end. He was a tight end in college, I think.
All right, here are the top 10 receiving yards in 2011. Calvin Johnson, Wes Welker, Victor Cruz, Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Smith, Gronk, Graham, and then you got Roddy White, Jordy Nelson, Brandon Marshall, which is to say that he is not a You know, so maybe top 10. And then Dwayne Bowe was 10th in receptions.
He's another
hell. Darren Sproles, Jimmy Graham was 3rd in receptions. Darren Sproles was 7th in receptions.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. Hey. So I agree. And look, Nix is an All Pro. He's 26. Two-time All-Pro, he and Evans are the reason that the interior line was so dominant in the Breeze. You couldn't get pressure up the middle on Breeze.
So sorry, wait a second. I got to interrupt you. I'm speaking with all this bravado. I look up on Football Outsiders. Colston is 6th in total efficiency among wide receivers, only behind Megatron, Jordy, Wes Welker, Victor Cruz, Mike Wallace.
Okay. Now,
Lord have mercy. Let's see. He catches 75% of the passes thrown in this direction. That's better than anyone above him. He runs – well, he doesn't run shorter routes than Welker or necessarily Cruz. All right. This makes me reconsider, but I still take Nix. All right, go ahead.
I think he's probably – all right, so he's probably – I mean
– wow, good for him. All right. My apologies, Marquise.
God, but see, then you start looking at – now I'm looking at the postseason. I was about to say. I was like, what? Meacham finished – you start looking at the these stats. I mean, Colston missed 2 games and he finished 12th in receiving yards, or no, 12th in why won't you sort for me stats?
He had 8 touchdowns and 12 yards.
Yeah, he finished
1100 yards.
Yeah, finished 14th in receiving yards in the NFL and he missed 2 games. Now, granted, the 2 games he missed, they played the Bears and another good defense. Escapes me exactly who it was, but they scored 70 points. And the 2 games they missed him. So, I mean, they can score without him. They can produce points without him. And offensive line to protect your franchise quarterback is more important, I think.
I agree, even though my theory kind of gets blown out of the water after I look at the Football Outsiders numbers. Well, someone else can get him. How about that? You'll get paid, Marcus.
Yeah. What about Dwayne Bowe? The Chiefs have Brandon Carr, a cornerback, who's, I think, 27? No, 25. He's young.
Yeah, he's young.
They also have Dwayne Bowe. So what do you do there? Do you franchise
Well, they have Bowe? Jonathan Baldwin, who, when he's not getting punched in the face, is actually pretty
by
good.
His teammate.
Yeah, by his teammate. We should
have. By the way, Bowe finished 13th in passing yards. Right.
And they'll also have Moyaki back, and they'll have Castle back, and they'll have Jamal Charles back. So, and Romeo's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
So they might be – Bo's going to want a lot of money. Bo's going to get paid if he hits free agency. So they might be willing to let him walk. I don't know what their strategy is. I haven't read the Kansas City papers. I don't have any insights. But just if I were Romeo Crennel and or Scott Pioli, I would first of all get a toupee and lose some weight. But then I would probably think about letting Bo walk and because their defense was pretty good for most of the year.
Very good, yeah.
And if they can get these offensive guys healthy – they could, they could do something. I don't think
I take a cornerback and I'll find another wide receiver.
Yeah, because it's not like, and they have Baldwin, who they seem to like, who I think was okay last year. Belichick actually said that he thought Baldwin and
better than Julio Jones.
They're basically the same guy. At least he should be trading up to number 6 to get him. I agree with that. And Bo's going to get paid somewhere. Now he's a guy that might fit in with the Ravens. He's more an Anquan Boldin physical type, but he can make plays down the field.
See, I think that somebody like Bo and then Vincent Jackson, if the Chargers, the Chargers can franchise Jackson, but he won't get the 9.4 because he got 11.4 last year. So he gets 120% of 11.4, which makes it, that's just untenable, you know?
Well, I thought they were talking about – I saw early last week that there was no way he was coming back. Then I saw a report later that the Chargers want to keep him.
Yeah, they want to keep him, but they're not going to franchise him to keep him. They're going to try to work out a deal with him to keep him, I think.
I wonder if that is Philip talking.
Could be. I don't see them bringing him back. I mean, if you're Vincent Jackson or Dwayne Bowe, you're going to get paid, man.
God, I hope that Vincent Jackson doesn't go to the Ravens.
I don't know. Do the Ravens have enough cap room to do that?
I don't know. I'm so concerned about how the Steelers are going to work this out that I haven't been paying attention to the other AFC North teams.
I think that you'll see Vincent Jackson and Dwayne Bowe. They seem like prime guys to go somewhere like Jacksonville.
We talked about this before. I know money trumps everything, but they have to have guys that they are in communication with, other NFL players, who say, listen, money's nice, but at the end of the day, you're playing in Jacksonville and you're going to hate it.
Well, yeah, but Vincent Jackson's like, well, you know what? I'm in Jacksonville, surfing, money, don't care.
Well, I mean, Jacksonville ain't San Diego. If he's not worried that much about money, he should just stay in San Diego where they have a quarterback.
Dude, he's been trying to get paid for so many years. I think he's just ready to get paid. Same with DeSean Jackson. If he hit the market, he would take whoever gave him the most money.
He's a little younger. I could see that. Vincent Jackson's been around. I think he was drafted in 04, 05, so maybe whatever. I don't know. I don't want to ascribe any character traits to these guys. They're probably going to chase the money. I don't blame them, but I bet they will regret it if they go somewhere like Jacksonville. That's all I'm saying.
Let me
say this real quickly. I brought up the Steelers. Let me bring this up because we talked about it before the podcast.
Oh, wait. Blah, blah, blah. Panthers. Sorry.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Carolina Panthers. There's a report that the Panthers could save close to $1 million if they cut Jimbo Clausen. Yes. Do you think he's getting cut?
If they can save $1 million, yes. They have no cap room. They have like 2.8. He's not even good. I mean, like, what?
Well, I knew that.
Derek Anderson came in. Derek Anderson beat out Jimmy Clausen for his job. I mean, I think
but Jimmy Clausen has spiked hair, which counts for something.
Not $1 million.
I think, well, that's the thing. $1 million isn't a lot of money when you're talking NFL salary cap. And they're saying, well, you can save, we'll give you a discount on 25 practice balls if you cut Jimmy Clausen. And then you don't even get Jimmy Clausen out of your mouth. And they're like, all right, we'll take it. Do you think Jimmy Clausen will get signed anywhere?
Yeah, he'll get signed as a backup somewhere.
Why?
I mean, because he's got, you know, he's young and he's, I mean, would you rather have Derek Anderson or Jimmy Clausen if money was, you know, not an issue?
Oh, God, I don't know. I would probably take Derek Anderson because I've seen him play, and I know that he's capable of occasionally throwing a completion.
But, I mean, Clausen at least has, like, some upside.
Well, then why aren't they keeping him? It's only $1 million.
Because they got Cam Newton. He didn't have the upside of Cam Newton, and it's $1 million, and they only have, like, $3 million in cap space. They have no cap space. Because they signed Olinda Murray to a $12 million deal.
He worked out.
Yeah.
Who was that he honked that field goal against?
The Vikings. Orlando Knight Mare, as we like to call him in Carolina.
Get it? Nightmare? I get it. I can do the French there. So, all right. So, Jimbo Clausen, you're fine with him leaving, and I don't think he will get signed anywhere. You do. So, good luck to you.
Look, I mean, like, obviously that will pan out as – you know, one of the worst moves. Now, I mean, it was a second rounder, so it could be worse, but it was a terrible move on Hardy's part. The good news is that he drafted Cam Newton the next year. So
people are making like suddenly Herney isn't awful at his job because he drafted Cam Newton, which was his only choice.
He's had some really good picks. I mean, like D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart.
And then he paid D'Angelo Williams ridiculous money.
Well, I didn't know Cam Newton would be that good. But whatever. We're not here to argue about the status of the Carolina Panthers.
All right. I just want to talk Jimbo quickly. What were we talking about before? Oh, Vincent Jackson going to Jacksonville because of the money.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to something else. Let's talk about TNA wrestling.
Well, I thought you were going to say Tebow.
No Tebow this time around. I know. Brandon Jacobs versus my wife just walked in and looked at me like, "What the hell's wrong with you?" Brandon Jacobs versus Jason Pierre-Paul. Both of these guys are Jason Pierre-Paul was rumored to be in the TNA wrestling match. Brandon Jacobs is now going to take his place because Pierre-Paul was too exhausted. Who would you rather have in a wrestling match, Jason Pierre-Paul or Brandon Jacobs?
Well, given that Warren Sapp calls Brandon Jacobs a tiptoe burglar and that JPP can do like 45 backflips in a row, I think I'm going with JPP.
I want Jacobs.
Why?
Because he's not afraid to smack talk his opponent's wife. And that is, as I wrote in the post, the most wrestling thing ever.
That's true. He would be, before he goes into the ring, he would steal the microphone from Gene Okerlund and yell about the other wrestler's lady.
Exactly. And that,
no, that's a good point.
That's critical. Because, I mean, this is just, theater. I mean, this isn't. You know, actual athletic needs.
But, you know, there's a long line of athletes partaking in this wrestling phenomenon. I don't know what it is.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Is he professional?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, because, I mean, Roethlisberger did it with his offensive line a few years ago. Of course, going back to, what's his name, the Worm, Dennis Rodman did it.
Yeah.
Pac-Man Jones did it. Remember he got taken off with a neck brace on?
Yeah. Well, that's because you're – you know, we forget how just insanely popular these things are. You know, these.
And a lot of people, I mean, I grew up watching wrestling.
Oh, God, yeah. I still have, again, unfortunately, my wife is within earshot, but I still have my wrestling figures at my parents' house. So.
Like Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair.
Absolutely.
At the Dorton Arena.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Quick story. I went there once. I made my dad take me when I was in sixth grade, and he said, we were there probably 2 minutes, and he said, this is where the bottom of the barrel gets together.
He's right.
And I was happy to be there. But anyway, yeah. So anyway, JPP, I take over. Brandon Jacobs, although I like your argument for the smack-talking angle for Jacobs.
Yeah. And yeah, in a real war of athletes, I would take JPP in a game of smack-talk. I want Jacobs. Although JPP does guarantee a win and follow it up. Lastly, Roger Goodell.
Ugh.
Your disgust is palpable. And audible. Roger Goodell reportedly will get double his salary. He received a 5-year extension before the Super Bowl through March of 2019, through the 2018 season. And he has been getting, the last time it was reported, he was receiving $9.89 million from the NFL to do his job. He will reportedly double that salary, get upwards of $20 million to be the NFL commissioner. You love it, don't you?
By all accounts, Roger Goodell is a fantastic person. Every media person we spoke with, CBS and otherwise, who knows Roger, says exactly that. So I'm sure he's a swell guy. I think he's a great politician. He comes from a family of politicians. His dad was a senator. But I also think that he earns that money if you are the NFL owners. And if you are a player, you probably think that he doesn't earn that money. And
Damien Woody, I think it was Damien Woody, tweeted.
What did he say?
He said, so that's where all the fine money goes.
That's a great tweet. But a good tweet. I think that Roger Goodell has some huge shortcomings when it comes to how he's not running the league for the players. He's running the league for the owners. The owners are his bosses. And if you understand that, that explains a lot in terms of the direction things are going. Now, how much he makes, $20 million is a lot of money, but it's based on how much the NFL brings in. It's not like he's making $20 million and the NFL only clears $25 million a year. It's a billion-dollar industry. So whatever, he gets a raise. The owners are clearly happy with what he's doing, but I think he's not doing as good a job as he probably should be doing.
I think that there are complaints you could make, especially when it comes to fining players and handing out player discipline. We talk about how he seems to randomly mete out punishment. At the same time, the NFL has successfully navigated a lockout. They have negotiated a new television deal. They're set for 10 years of labor peace, in which the NFL will continue to become the most compound its status as most popular sport in the world. It will continue to be one of the biggest businesses in the entire world, and it will continue to make billions of dollars. And the guy, negotiating that, for better or for worse, is Roger Goodell. And he's the reason that the NFL is – not the reason the NFL
– No, he's not the reason.
He is a pretty big reason why the NFL – he's doing a good job of making sure that they become and continue to be a multi-billion dollar business. And ergo, I'm fine with the $20 million. I would like $20 million.
I told you I had no issue with what he's making because it's based on how well the NFL is doing. But he has nothing to do with that. He just happened to be the right place at the right time.
I mean, I completely disagree. I mean, he's done a lot.
You're telling me that someone else couldn't have the job that he has and the NFL would be just as successful carrying out the owner's orders.
Well, I think that he has a good dynamic between these owners. Look, these owners are faction too. And they're not all on the same page. And he's got a bunch of different bosses he's got to help, find a common ground between.
Mm-hmm. No, look, I'm sure he's a great guy. I don't think what he's doing is anything spectacular, miraculous. I think the players get the short end of the stick, not just fines, but in terms of safety. They preach player safety, and yet there was no discussion in the CBAs about mandating that players wear the safest helmets available. Then there's talk about 18-game schedule. That comes up every few months. So which is it? That's my
cash money, son.
Straight cash, homie. That's exactly
straight
right.
Cash, homie.
That's right. To round out the Randy Moss-a-thon.
So, I mean, look, that's how it is. I mean, look, I think that he's done a good job of at least balancing the appearance of caring about player safety, caring about player safety, doing enough to help player safety, improving the quality of the game without watering it down too much, and also making a ton of money for the NFL. It's not an easy job.
Yeah, he's always smiling.
Well, he has to smile. Actually, if you look at his guinea pigs, he's usually always frowning.
And then he sees his paycheck, and then he smiles.
That's right, $20 million smile. Anyway, so yeah, straight cash, homie, for Roger Goodell. Randy Moss is back in the NFL. We'll be
Wait, no, he's not.
he's back in football.
He announced it, but it isn't up to him.
Well, somebody will sign him.
All right.
He's back.
There you go.
That's all you need to know. And, anyway, we'll be back later this week with more podcasts preparing for the upcoming franchise tag fiesta and the free agency party in the offseason. Subscribe to iTunes and we will talk to you people later.